It's Matthew chapter 13 and verses 24 through 33. Shall we hear the word of the Lord? It's the parable of the weeds. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? How does this weeds come?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.'" Verse 31, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it was grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air came and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." In verse 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will be also at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to start first with verses 34 and 35. The reason being, I believe it helps to set what we are going to be talking about this morning. The message that the apostle Matthew was speaking to us had to do with was the advancement of the kingdom. And it is our purpose and our hope as believers to advance the kingdom. And he is going to describe to us how this is coming about. Notice with me, starting in verse 34, how the apostle Matthew records what was being said. "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables." This was to fulfill. Remember, this is one of his key things. Things are being accomplished. Things are being done according to Scripture. It is being fulfilled. And so he says, "And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet." And then he quotes a passage, "I will open my mouth in parables." I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, we must remember that Jesus Christ was standing on a boat on the edge of a lake in Galilee. He was teaching a group of inquisitive people a message that they were trying to get across to them what it is the kingdom going to be like. And as he was teaching in these parables, the reason he was doing these things was to make obvious what the kingdom of God is like. He wanted to point out the significance of the kingdom and the significance that the kingdom has on its people. We are the kingdom. People who bow the knee, we are the kingdom. We use the term we are the church in being specific, but if you're thinking it from the Lord's side, it's His kingdom. It's His people. It's His rule. He has all power and authority. And He is speaking these truths to people who are part of His kingdom and also to people who are not part of His kingdom. People who will not listen. Now, one of the reasons Jesus used parables was to fulfill Scripture. Well, that begs the question, which Scripture? And what was the purpose of the Scripture that Jesus Christ quoted? I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. This is the passage that Jesus Christ quotes. Now, it is a song, and we're going to look at it in a minute, because this will help flesh out why he's saying what he's saying. But we need to understand Psalm 78 before we understand what he's talking about in the text, because he assumes you know what he's talking about. So it's for us to come up to speed. Would you follow along with me? It's in Psalm 78, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. The part Jesus quotes here is, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. The reason Jesus Christ quotes this psalm, it is a song by a songwriter named Asaph, who's considered a prophet. As we recall, a quick summary of the people of Israel, the summary had to do with the people being taught about the Lord and them not listening to the truths that had been taught from generation to generation. I gave you a handout in your bulletin, and I hope you have it. I hope you have a copy of the bulletin. You have this in the middle. And I'm going to read part of this for a specific reason. This came, it's a comment that is in the English Standard Version Bible under Psalm 78. I just printed it, and I even got permission. Can you believe that? But I wanted you to see this so you could bring it home with you and to hear what was being done in Psalm 78. Because once you understand this and then move it into the parable that Jesus is preaching, it will make more sense for us. Psalm 78 is a historical psalm which Jesus quotes from to make his point to the people of Israel, such as in Matthew 13. When Jesus was teaching and using parables during his Galilean ministry. This is a historical psalm recounting events from Israel's past that show how God preserved or persevered with his people even when they disbelieved. Think of this. Asaph, the songwriter, is describing the people who had come before him. And this is the time when they were going to go into Babylonian captivity. Now he's describing the people that came before him. Well, at the same time, he cleansed his people by purging them of the unbelievers along the way. The Psalm has selected events primarily from the Pentateuch, Joshua, Judges, and Samuel, ending with the reign of David. The Psalm is clear about its purpose: to reconcile these events in song that future generations of God's people might take the lessons to heart, particularly that they do not be unbelieving and rebellious like the generations described here. That's in the rest of this psalm. The emphasis is on the people as a whole and the members' obligation to embrace the covenant faithfulness in every generation. Terms of remember and forget run through the psalm, and then there lists some of them where it's found. The psalmist hopes that those who sing will never again forget. The idea was, when you and I sing a song or a tune, you remember it. While Jan and I were out visiting my son, they were playing some old music from the 50s and 60s. And yes, I still do remember. It was amazing how now it's 60 years later? Where's time gone? That I could still remember Rock Around the Clock Tonight. Now, I only see one or two heads bobbing here, but gives you the idea. But, the song was on the radio, and it was like, yeah, and you remembered it. And I'm thinking, that's what the psalmist, Asaph, was trying to do for the nation of Israel with this psalm. Be obedient. Do not be disobedient like these other people. And that's what it was about. And he picked events from the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He picked events from Joshua, Judges, and Samuel, and it ended with King David and Samuel. If you'll notice on this side, it says the psalm opens with its purpose statement in the first verses, followed by several episodes of sin and unbelief. Each new section begins with "they sinned" or "they rebelled," and it shows you where they are in those verses. Followed by the final section of God's gift of David as the pinnacle expression of his enduring commitment that would be to his people. He is committed to his people. Christians will, of course, see the final section on David as important. Jesus is David's heir who now occupies his throne. At the same time, they should not overlook God's patience, preservation of his people, the descendants of Abraham, which all now who believe in Jesus Christ are the descendants, the people in which, as he has engulfed the Gentiles, Christians, and Christians may properly see themselves as the beneficiaries of God's patience. Without it, there would be no people for them to be a part of. And God will continue his purpose for his people until the very end. That's what Psalm 78 is all about. Doesn't that sound very interesting? Because now we're thinking, Jesus Christ is now preaching to these people in Galilee some 700 years later, and he quotes this passage as a background to why he's teaching them, and he's drawing on that as something to help them to remember. Was there not previous failure when the Word of God had been proclaimed? This is what it's like. So what now we are witnessing and what we are hearing from the Apostle Matthew, and he's telling us that the Lord of heaven was standing right in front of these people of Galilee, speaking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God has come to them so that now they can participate. He is now the new songwriter saying, here's the kingdom. It's here. It is at hand. And they were witnessing the event. And they were now being proclaimed to come and join in the kingdom with him, teaching them the parables of Asaph as proof texts for him and them to say, do you hear this? Do you see it happening? And so as we see, he is proclaiming the kingdom message of salvation that was predicted back in Psalm 78 and verse 2. So during the time of Asaph, which is the downside that Jesus is drawing on, the people of Israel were going into captivity for not listening to the good news message that was delivered to them. Now, once more, the good news message was being delivered to the people of Israel by Jesus Christ himself, and thus he is fulfilling the Psalm 78. By fulfilling 78 verse 2, I will teach them in parables. I will teach them in truths that will help them understand, yes, obey me, and if you do not, you are disobeying me. This is what's going on. So if this is true, we who are hearing this message have a great responsibility as well as the people of Jesus Christ, some now what? 2,000 years later, as family members of the kingdom of God, we have a great purpose and a great purpose to pass on. Our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God as Jesus Christ advanced his kingdom. He was obedient. What does that tell us? We need to be obedient. We need not to be like the examples in Psalm 78 where those people were disobedient. We need to follow now Jesus Christ who is obedient. But now, since Jesus Christ has established his kingdom and he has established you and me, we have become the national or spiritual Israel through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. Which means we now have a very great responsibility. And that great responsibility has to do with obedience to the call which was given to you, which was given to me through the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which was being passed on to those people on the side of the Lake of Galilee. We heard it before and back a few verses ago, even though it was weeks ago for us in our message, doesn't mean it was weeks ago in the preaching when Jesus was saying it. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and the yoke is, let me teach you. You will strain upon that, letting Christ teach you how to be obedient. That's what you are straining against. Because your natural flesh will not want to follow him, but your spirit will. And he says he will be humble and he will be gentle in heart towards you while you are straining and learning about him. This is something the nation of Israel failed to do, which Psalm 78 pointed out. So as Jesus used these stories and illustrations to make his point, he used parables to illustrate or make obvious what his kingdom would be like until his return. So what does this mean for us today? It means we are given a spiritual heads up as what to expect. First, what to expect from non-believers in our personal daily lives. When we're in the Word, He says, this is what will happen, this is what it will be like. And second, what to expect from fellow believers within the church, within the kingdom of God. All of this while we are finishing out our time here on earth. Now, the parable of the mustard seed gives us that help and that insight. I'll start with that one. Will you notice with me? It's verses 31 through 33. It's the mustard seed and the leaven. And this is one of the examples he gives. Verse 31 says, He put another parable before them. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches. Verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leaven. Notice with me how Jesus described the kingdom of heaven, how it would grow. It would start out small, as in the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. But once his kingdom started growing, it would grow to become one of the largest of the garden herbs. Meaning Jesus' ministry would be small. And as all of us know, how small was it? 12. That's where it started off with. 12. And now today, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' kingdom, has now changed. There are millions of us. There are millions of us who have bowed the knee. Has his kingdom grown? Has it grown like that small mustard seed? In a similar way, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. When leaven is introduced into a lump of flour with water, it becomes alive. Now, I know you girls who've been making the nice hot bread here. You use yeast, and you put it inside that, and you roll it up, and you let it proof. It'll swell up. You are letting the leaven permeate all of that flour. And this is what it does. It takes time for that leaven to work its way through all the flour and to proof it up. It takes time. And that's what's going on here. It permeates the flour, and the good news message now permeates into all areas of mankind, men and women alike, who will come to trust in the gospel message. And so the kingdom of heaven is advancing into Satan's realm, and it is winning the day, slowly but surely. But it is winning the day. Now, the problem some of us may have is this. Because we don't see the great advancements does not mean that the great advancements are not taking place. His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Just because you and I don't always see it moving as fast as we imagine in our own minds does not mean that the advancement of the kingdom is not taking place. The kingdom of heaven has come from the point of insignificance when it started with Jesus Christ, from the point of insignificance with 12 people, to a position of dominance. Because the kingdom of heaven is here to stay. So what are some of the implications of this spiritual truth for you and for me? First, spiritual growth may be gradual. Your spiritual growth may be gradual. Why? Because that's the way the kingdom of God grows in you as a believer. It's gradual. You are not the person you were yesterday. You are not the person you were a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I'll stop there. You get the idea. You have matured, you have grown, in the same way yeast permeates the dough and it makes it expand and get bigger. You are growing in grace. You are growing in knowledge. You are understanding the kingdom of God. And now you are able to be obedient and to be pleasing in His sight. For most of us, God's rule in our lives begins with a toehold within our hearts. It starts out small, just like that mustard seed. And then it slowly but surely transforms our sinful lives into holy lives. Gradually, we are transformed, like the leaven in the bread. We become less selfish. We become less prideful. We become less worldly. That is the spiritual leaven working in our lives. This is the spiritual leaven working in the church with all of us as we encourage one another to grow in grace, as we sing songs, as we read the Psalms, as we read Scripture, as we pray together, as we have an opportunity to teach one another, as we have an opportunity to proclaim the truth so that we are all made aware. As you grow, as you apply these things today, tomorrow, and the next day, that is the Word of God, is that leaven now is working through your life, causing you to be more obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, I want to read a verse from, for those who are scribbling down notes, it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3 is about the new covenant coming that Jesus Christ has established, that there's a line of communication because of the new covenant that Jesus purchased with His blood with the Father. And this is one of the verses in that context says this. It's verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we," that's all the believers, "and we all, with unveiled face," the idea is now we are seeing, the veil has been removed, and we understand the Word, "beholding the glory of the Lord." You now see it. You are now made aware. You are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. You are gradually being changed from one glory to another. As you are growing, I am not, when I started out here as a young believer, I made a lot of mistakes. I was more sinful than I was 10 years later, and another 10 years later. I don't make the same mistakes like I did 40 years ago when I trusted Christ. Do I make mistakes? Yes, and we're going to get to that in a minute. The point is this is where we have a dilemma. We believers have a dilemma. Because we use ourselves as the standard of change, which is not entirely accurate. We use ourselves as a standard. I'm going to quote somebody I read that I think will be helpful. He has two areas here that I think will point out something to us. It's a pastor, name is Terry Johnson, and he's down in Savannah, Georgia. And he says, regarding us believers, "You have tried the Christian life, and you have failed. There is perhaps a sinful habit you cannot master. Your tongue is always getting you into trouble. Your temper periodically explodes. You have tried to have daily devotions and you've failed. And your family life is empty. Or perhaps your church has sought to grow. You've prayed, you have revised, and you've improved the programs of your church. You have faithfully proclaimed God's word, yet growth has been meager to non-existent. So now what? Quit? No, keep trying, knowing that slow growth is the norm. Persistence will pay off in the end. Does that sound familiar to you? I don't know about you guys, it sounded very familiar to me. Non-believers will tell us that we can have it all. But that goes contrary to what the Word of God says. It will be gradual. It will be slow. But it will be consistent. And we will be there in the end when all else has failed. Now, I'm going to ask you to follow along with me as we close this longer section. And now to do with what talks about the weeds being explained. It's in verse 36. And then I think this will flesh out that final part about who and what we are and why now we have hope and we have purpose. Because we belong to the kingdom of God, which Jesus Christ is ruling over you. Notice what he says in verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. It was his house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. That's what he just talked about while he was on the boat on the seashore. Notice verse 37. And he answered them, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He's saying that's himself. Verse 38, the field is the world. And the good seed that he's sowing in this world is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age, the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin. That's what they gather. They will call all the causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As believers, our lives have a holy purpose. We are the good seed. We are the sons of the kingdom. You are the good seed. As believers, we make up the kingdom of God. The kingdom was planted as a small seed by Jesus Christ, who planted his holy seed in a prepared field, the world. Satan came along and planted his sinful seed in the same prepared field, attempting to advance his kingdom on the back of the heavenly kingdom. But his seed was only weeds, the sons of the evil one. Sad to say, but true, this represents people whom you and I may even love, that are friends and loved ones and family. But they are still weeds. That's the sad part. They are non-believers. At first, these people may seem the same as everyone else in the field of life. When life first sprouts, it sprouts green. But not until mid-season does the evidence of the weeds make themselves obvious. This is when everyone is fully involved in life, when the differences become obvious to all of us who are watching. The Good Shepherd's seed flourishes when a person believes the gospel message, which is evidenced by the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, meaning they become obedient to the Word of God. While at the same time, the sinful seed, the non-believers, do not show evidences of spiritual change in their lives, which is a lack of obedience to the Word of God. The spiritual fruit of the mustard seed continues to grow since the time of Jesus Christ planting his seed some 2,000 years ago. His seed has truly continued to flourish within his prepared field. His branches have spread out around the world through time and space, reaching people from all corners of this earth, because nothing can limit his eternal kingdom. His kingdom is his people. So you do not see yourself as the spiritual seed of heaven, as an heir of the kingdom. That will mean that you are missing something that will give you encouragement. You must see yourself as being the spiritual seed of the kingdom. This will give you encouragement so that you will not fail. You are an heir of the kingdom. You are under his rule. He is ruling your lives. It is evident by you listening to the word. It is evident by you obeying the word. Is it evidenced by you looking to take care of someone, as in a brother and sister in the Lord, that, and they're taking care of them may be a physical thing, but in particular, even more so, is that you are watching out over their soul. You are concerned for them. You're concerned, are they spending time in the word? Are they spending time in prayer? And in these ways, we are advancing the kingdom. This is the leaven that we have. We talk about the Lord because he's a joy to us. He's not a burden. We love talking about him because the love that he infuses into us through the work of the Holy Spirit gives us a joy and a peace that we want to share that with others as we have an opportunity. And that's being obedient. And the world sees that. The non-believer sees that. They see your leaven. They see you swelling with pride over the Lord. Now, does that mean they're in agreement with you? No. But this is where you find your joy. This is where you find your encouragement. The spiritual fruit of the mustard seeds continues to grow. Its branches spread out, and it continues to flourish and to produce more seed. As believers, do we have a purpose in this life? Our purpose is to make much of the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to make much of the kingdom of God, because it has changed us within our heart and within our mind. I want to comment and say, do you realize that it is only us who have believed that it changes us so much that we want to talk about him? It isn't like I'm laboring. It's like I was with my family in the West Coast. I talked to them about the Lord when I was there. I was with some guys the other day up in Ludlow. I was talking with them about the Lord. I didn't find it being laborsome. I had to wait for the right time to talk appropriately and use the moment to be wise about it and not be obnoxious. But it's the leaven of the joy of the Lord, of wanting to advance the kingdom. It's spreading and talking about him because you love him. You know, we must never lose sight of whom we're talking about and whom we're involved with. We're involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're involved with his kingdom. Our King is using us to advance his kingdom. Friends, co-workers, loved ones, and even strangers. As the leaven has worked in us and is causing us to proof out to be more than what we were, just a simple, basic lump, now we've become something that's more. We've become mature. And as we live our lives in this prepared field, we live it obediently. We are the good leaven of God advancing his kingdom, which is permeating the world slowly but surely, day by day. We, and I think of myself, must never lose sight. We are playing a part. It is a mighty role. And it is advancing the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to live our lives daily, faithfully, and obediently to the Lord. In this way, we advance the kingdom of God. Our life has meaning. Our lives have meaning. Because all of us are now under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. As Psalm 78 had reminded us, his kingdom advances from generation to generation. Some will listen to the good news message, while others will not listen to this good news message. But as we advance the kingdom through our obedience, personally and as a church, we grow in our relationship with the Son of Man. As a believer, your hope and your purpose is found in the Lord in advancing his kingdom for his glory and for his honor. Brothers and sisters, serve him. Obey him. Spread your spiritual seed so that the time of the final harvest, as verse 43 says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we have been blessed to know that your Son loves us more than life itself. I ask truly that we will have ears that will hear, and that we will see that we do have purpose, that we do have meaning. Our meaning is found in loving you and living faithfully and obediently to you, as we have been directed through your word and through the love and encouragement of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you would bless us and help us to grow in grace. I ask that we would not be disobedient like those people who were used as an example in the past, but may we be found faithful to you for your glory and for your honor. And in Christ's name we pray.